Welcome to the Bayside Church Weekly Message Audio Podcast, Cheltenham.
We are continuing our series that Pastor Rob launched last weekend called The Happy Life. And if you weren't here last weekend, do yourselves a favor, make sure you jump online, download the audio or the video, and make sure you keep up to date with what's happening. Pastor Rob preached a fantastic message last weekend. And we're going to continue tonight with part two. And can I ask you to do something tonight with me? We're going to read the Word of God, and we've been sitting down for a little while now. So if you are physically able tonight, would you stand with me as we read the Word of God? Grab your Bible. If you don't have your Bible, that's cool. It's going to be on the screen behind us. And let's turn to Matthew chapter 5. There we go. Matthew chapter 5. Is something about the Word of God needs to take pride and place. That's what we're doing, standing up tonight. It's okay to get a little bit passionate, a little bit excited about this word. It transforms your life. It inspires you. Let's get into it. We're going to read from verse 3 through to verse 10. In fact, how about we all read it out aloud together? Is that cool? Let's read this out aloud. Here we go. Verse 3. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Lord God, I just ask right now that through your word, you bring such a fresh revelation to us. We are open for business right now. Our hearts are open to receive from you. Holy Spirit, we ask that you personalize your word into our very being. Transform us from the inside out tonight through the power and the might of your word. In Jesus' name we pray. And everyone said, amen. Amen. Thank you very much for doing that. You may be seated. Tonight we are looking at verse 4 of that passage that we just read, which says, blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Now, I love how the Amplified Version puts this. So is this all right? We're just going to go a little deeper right now into the Amplified Version. It's going to be on the screens behind me. Check out this. You're going to love it. You're going to love what this says. Verse 4 in the Amplified says, blessed and enviably happy, with a happiness produced by the experience of God's favor and especially conditioned by the revelation of his matchless grace, are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. I love that. Blessed and enviably happy. Who loves that? I think there's happiness in the place tonight. Amen? Come on, there's a little bit more than that. That's my four people. Shout out to you again. There's happiness in the place. Come on, youth. Is there any happiness? Because I'm happy. Ha. Clap along if you feel like a room without. Come on. Because I clap along if you feel like that's what you gotta do. Clap along if you feel like that's what you're gonna do. Clap along if you feel like happiness is for you. We give you praise in this place, Lord God. There is happiness in our hearts. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for the joy, for the spirit of happiness in this place. Do you feel good? Happiness. 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 Thank you, Lord God. I just sense right now there's just something on praise. Can you just go with me for a second? This is not scripted. This is for free. But I just sense, can you just do something with me right now? I believe someone is going to just get overwhelmed by the presence of God, that someone is going to receive a breakthrough through the power of our praise right now. Would you join with me and lift your voice to our Lord God? Father, we just worship you. We praise you right now. We lift our voice, a voice of triumph, a voice of victory. We shout unto God with a voice of triumph. We praise your holy name. Oh, we praise you, Lord God. Hallelujah. 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 I just sense someone is receiving breakthrough. Power is released when we praise the name of our God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We praise you. We praise you. We praise you. We praise you. The word Shabbat in the Hebrew is one of the seven words for praise. Shabbat means to shout to God with a loud voice, with a voice of triumph. You know, sometimes when we praise God, power is unleashed. God says that He inhabits the praises of His people. And who knows that where God is, that's a good place to be. We just release your power upon this place tonight, Lord God. Hallelujah. 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 Someone just got released in this place tonight. I believe it with all I got. Hallelujah. You know, if you are new here tonight, we do this a lot. We lift our voice, we raise our voice in praise to our God. And the way I like to think of it is almost like an iceberg, where sometimes our understanding of what we are actually doing is only that much on top of the surface of the water. But when we praise, something is going deep. Our roots are going deep into the kingdom of heaven. We can't see it because it's under the water, but something is happening. God is released into situations and circumstances. I'm a massive believer in praise. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Amen. Woo! Thank you, Lord. I'm happy. Is it all right to have some fun in church? Awesome. The Word of God, I love it. Blessed or enviably happy are those who mourn. Now, we're one big happy family here. Can we just get real for a minute? Is it just me? Or when you read that, blessed are those who mourn, in my head, there's a little bit of a conflict or maybe even a contradiction going on. It's like, hang on a second. When you actually think about that, blessed are those who mourn. What does that actually mean? Because doesn't mourning signify that something bad has occurred? I'm sure all of us here tonight have been through seasons of mourning. Maybe mourning the passing of a loved one. I spoke to someone recently who was mourning the passing of their beloved pet. There was this family pet and they were mourning for their cat. Some of you in this room will never know what it feels like to mourn for a cat. I'm going to get even more shaky because I believe that there's some people in this room who maybe have been in a season which has lasted the lifetime of mourning because you barrack for a certain football club. Any Collingwood supporters in the house? Joel, I love how you just raised that hand. Come on, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. The ground just got very shaky. And I'm not making light of mourning. I'm not at all. But you see, mourning is a part of life. In Ecclesiastes 3, it says, there's a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance. So what is Jesus actually preaching here in his sermon when he says, blessed are those who mourn? Let's unpack this tonight, shall we? Awesome. So if you're taking notes, the first thing I believe Jesus is saying when he says, blessed are those who mourn, is that we are blessed or we are enviably happy when we mourn over the sin that is in our own lives. You know, we are all sinners, Romans 3:23, I think it is, says, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." We are all sinners, and our sin is not something that we should be proud of or even make light of. It's this sin that has separated us from the love of the Father. That's why Father God had to send his one and only Son, Jesus, to come to the earth as a man to live a perfect life and die sinless on the cross. And as he died on the cross, he took upon your sin and my sin and nailed it to the cross. He rose again 3 days later so that we may rise with him, that we are now dead to sin and alive to Christ. That's good news. We were once slaves to sin, but the Bible says we are now slaves to righteousness through what Jesus accomplished on the cross. Sin was a big deal, but Jesus nailed it to the cross. But we got to make sure that the sin that can so easily entangle, so easily ensnare our lives, doesn't rule our lives. Jesus, I believe, here is calling us to mourn over the sin that exists in our lives. As I was preparing for this message the last couple of days, I really sense in my spirit that I was to lead all of us here tonight, myself included, in a prayer of repentance. Now, I'm not trying to put shame upon anyone tonight. I'm not doing that. But Jesus also asks of us to repent of our sin. And as I was just meditating and praying on this word of God, I was just always drawn to Psalm 51, which is an incredible psalm. And it's a psalm that David prays. It's a prayer that David prays over his own life. And what's happened is David basically has the hots for this woman, but the problem is that she is married. So what he does is he takes the husband, he throws him onto the front lines of the battlefield where he's more likely to be killed, and he is. Then he commits adultery with Bathsheba, and he comes to God and he prays this prayer over his own life. And as I pray this now, Holy Spirit, I just ask that you minister to every single person under the sound of my voice right now. Maybe you'd like to close your eyes as I pray this over all of us, myself included. Psalm 51, I've paraphrased it. It says, "Have mercy on me, O God, according to your unfailing love, according to your great compassion, blot out my transgressions. Wash away all my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I know my transgressions and my sin is always before me. Against you, only you, have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight. Cleanse me and I will be clean. Wash me and I will be whiter than snow. Hide your face from my sins and blot out all of my iniquity. Create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Amen." Amen. Blessed are those who mourn over the sin in their own lives. True repentance is what Jesus is requiring of us. Secondly, we are blessed or enviably happy when we mourn for those Jesus mourns for. You know, Jesus championed those people who were normally overlooked by the society of the day or even the religious leaders of the day. And what is amazing is that Jesus says that the kingdom of God is not for the proud or the self-sufficient or the people that have seemingly got it all together, but the kingdom of God is for people just like you and me. Maybe a little bit rough around the edges. Maybe people who don't have all their life together and we're still working on it. We're still journeying our lives through with Jesus. That's who Jesus came and says the kingdom of God are for. And you see, when Jesus walked the earth, the Israelites believed that their Messiah would come in might and power and throw over the empire that was ruling at the stage, which was the Roman Empire. And indeed, Jesus did come in might and power, and he displayed it by hanging out with those people who were disenfranchised from the norms of society, the people that didn't really fit in, the people who were hurting, the people who were broken. You look at how he calls his disciples fishermen. And of the day, the fishermen had the lowest social status because they dealt with unclean animals. They dealt with fish all day long. Yet they were the first people that Jesus hung out with as his disciples. He hung out with the tax collectors who were despised by everyone. He hung out with the prostitutes and the lepers and the demon-possessed and the diseased. These are the people Jesus hung out with. These are the people who Jesus championed and did life with. He's amazing. Jesus is amazing. You know, he didn't conform to the middle-class life of the Pharisees. In Luke chapter 5, Jesus said, "It is not for the healthy who need a doctor, but for the sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but the sinners to repentance." I don't know about you, but I loved seeing that Matt's Place testimony tonight. I love our ministry of Matt's Place. It's incredible what we are doing in our local area, Chelsea, Cheltenham, where Jane, Danielle, the volunteers, just having a massive impact. They are doing life with these people who are disenfranchised with society, like Jesus did. They're the homeless, the unemployed, doing it rough, doing it tough, and we are there being the hands and feet, just sitting with them, listening to them, sitting there serving them a hot meal once a week. How incredible is that? And you know what? If you are to talk to any of our amazing volunteers, they will say that blessed they are for hanging out with these people. Testimony after testimony after testimony of how they've been impacted by hanging out with these people. So a little plug for Matt's Place. If you are free on a Tuesday or a Thursday and would love to get involved with these people, being Jesus to these people, come and have a chat to Jane at the end of the service. It's an incredible ministry that we are doing, and we are basing it on how Jesus lived his life. And that's a pretty good thing to do. So secondly, as I said, we are blessed when we mourn for those who Jesus mourns for. And thirdly, I'd like to say that we are blessed as mourning is a good teacher. It really is. Kenneth Bailey, in his book, Jesus Through Middle Eastern Eyes, he says this, listen to this: "Christians are never urged to seek suffering. They are, however, encouraged to recognize that suffering is an extraordinary teacher. We know little about the great depths of the human spirit until we have endured suffering. Pain rearranges our priorities." How true is that? It really does. You know, every funeral I've ever been to, whether I've known the person well or not really known the person that well, I've always, without fail, walked away with a re-evaluation of the priorities in my life. Pain does that. It's a good thing. If we use mourning to be a teacher, we can just gain so much in life. Mourning is inevitable. It's not nice to go through it, but if we can flip it into a positive, it's actually a great teacher. And someone in our congregation who has done that, and she is an absolute living testimony of this. She's not here tonight, I don't think, but that's Lucy Cumming. Many of you will know Lucy. Many of you will know her testimony, and she says it a lot better than I will say it right now. But I spoke to Lucy during the week, and she said it was okay for me to share this with you tonight, how a season of mourning was turned into a teaching season, and she's gotten so much out of her life. For those of you who don't know Lucy, she's got a son, Harry. Harry is just on fire for God. He's an amazing young man. But when Harry was only 3 weeks old, Harry's father left both Lucy and Harry. And as you can imagine, this was absolutely devastating. This was heartbreaking for Lucy to be left alone with a three-week-old baby. And interestingly, she said this week, "You know, I just never thought it would happen to me. You know, that stuff happens to other people. I never thought it would happen to me." So right here, Lucy had two choices. She was either going to stay in mourning for the rest of her life, potentially, or she could use mourning as a good teacher. And that's what she chose. She chose to look for God in this season. And even though it was extremely tough, She had the opportunity to seek after God and rely on God for absolutely everything. You know, it's very easy for us to say, Lord, I rely on you. Yeah. It's actually harder to then outwork that. Words are easy. Living by that is harder. But Lucy had to learn to live by it. And she was telling me that one of her life verses now is Romans chapter 8, verse 28. For we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him and are called according to his purpose. That's a life verse that she lives by. Interestingly, she said, you know what, through the whole process, she is the same clay, just molded in a different way. I love that. The same clay, but molded in a different way. And you see Lucy and you see Harry, you would never know what they have been through because they've used mourning as an amazing teacher to bring them both closer to God, for God to be their everything and to be their rock. We can do the same thing. So blessed are those who mourn. Now part two, this is good. Blessed are those who mourn, say it with me, for they will be comforted. Ah, that word just sounds comfortable. Who loves comfort? I love comfort food. Anyone with me? Comfort food, especially in winter. Friday night, Camille and I, we have Fridays off. So Friday night is like our date night, comfort night. Generally involves a slice of pizza or six. But we love our comfort food, but it's also great when you're comforted by other people. Who's experienced that? When someone has just comforted you in a time that is difficult or a time of mourning. Interestingly, in this verse of our text tonight, the word comfort here is exactly the same word that Jesus speaks in John chapter 14, verses 16 and 17. It'll come up on the screen behind me. Jesus says, I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor. There's the word there. To be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him or knows him, but you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. Who are we talking about here? Holy Spirit, exactly. Let's go back to, I ask the Father, he will give you another counselor. That word, another, there is fascinating because it means another of the same kind. Okay, so this is Jesus saying that I've got to go away, but I'm going to bring another of the same kind. That is the Holy Spirit, or Parakletos, counselor, comforter, advocate, consoler, and intercessor. Who knows that the Holy Spirit is an amazing comforter? Amen. I went through an interesting season last year, and Pastor Christy actually has spoken something very similar where she had an accident. But I broke my wrist around the middle of the year last year, and it wasn't an easy season, and I really relied on the comfort of the Holy Spirit. And I found through that, through his comfort, he really brought truth into my life. And I began to realize that truth is a comfort in your life. He realigned a few areas of my life that were maybe a little bit out of balance. He brought a slowness to my life, and he took back some of the control that I tried to wrestle off God for my own life. Who knows that it's better to have God in control of your life than you? Amen. I'd wrestled some back. But this was an amazing time where the Holy Spirit, I relied on him for comfort. Because in the natural, it was actually a fairly intense season. You see, it only happened a couple of weeks before Church Unite. And I was quite heavily involved in the organization and some of the planning for Church Unite last year. So to be out of action with a broken wrist wasn't ideal in the natural. I had to rely on the comfort of the Holy Spirit. And you know, I love God's sense of humor because I got my cast off. I think it was literally like 2 days before Church Unite. It was a season that I had to rely on the comfort of the Holy Spirit. But you see, when we receive that comfort of him, and I hope we all do, it's not to stay with us. Okay, that comfort that we possess needs to flow onto others. Check this verse out here in 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 3. I love this. It says, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all of our troubles, so that, See that? So that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves receive from God. That is a cool verse right there. It basically says that we are not called to be buckets, but we are called to be pipes. It's meant to flow through us, not stop with us. Amen? So when God brings a comfort upon our lives, it's not meant to stop with us and kind of store it up. That's unhealthy. It's meant to flow through us. We are vessels for God to work through. You can apply that principle with anything. The grace that God has poured out upon our lives is not meant to stop with us. It's meant to flow into those around us. His mercy, His faithfulness. Amen? To our brothers and sisters in Christ, but also to those who are yet to know the Lord. We are vessels, we are pipes where that comfort can flow through.
We hope you enjoyed listening to this weekly message audio podcast. If you'd like to listen to more messages and find out more information, check out our website at www.baysidechurch.com.au. Church has changed. Check it out.